This is CliffCentral.com. It's a Liam Payne. Wasn't he one of the One Direction boys? It was him and the other one as well. They've all got songs out at the moment, except poor old Zayn. I think he's totally dropped off.
No,
Is he still around?
Wasn't Zayn the first one to leave the group?
Zayn's the biggest deal.
And then there was the big uproar. He's
all right.
Okay, I don't know why we're doing this.
I don't know either. All right, Cecilia, you'll know this. Come on, help me here.
We were going to start going through all of them, and then we realized that this is beyond our spectrum.
So the One Directioners, there were five of them.
Hang on. Let me try. Mm-hmm. The one that we just played now, Liam, he's one of them.
Uh-huh.
Then there's Harry Styles.
Yes.
He was the main guy. He's got a song out at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Zayn was the first one to go solo, am I right?
Zayn was.
Okay.
So
then
that's
Zayn, so that's three. Then there's a guy called Neil.
Niall.
Yeah.
Okay, he's also got a song out at the moment called Slow Hands.
Oh, yes. Does he?
Yeah. So who's the fifth loser? Who's the guy who
the
doesn't...
The Michelle Williams of it all.
Who's the guy who doesn't have a song out at the moment that's...
Louis Tomlinson.
Wait a minute. Isn't he the one who's now a father?
No.
No?
That is...
Was he the best dancer or...
Liam?
One of them had a child.
I think, yeah. Liam with Cheryl Cole. Yes.
Okay, so
the age gap one.
So wow. There's his claim to fame. There we go.
I would love to get into this some more, but we've got a real issue that we need to address, and I thought it would be a good idea to talk to Ranjeni this morning. Ranjeni Moonsami, you are the most badass motherfucker in the world.
I take that as a compliment, Gary.
Of course it's a compliment. You're incredible. I mean, listen, you have been having some... I follow you, and I followed you from the start, but you've recently had some incredible, full-on... arguments, fights, threats of violence from both sides. It's incredible what's going on in your Twitter. It's the most exciting Twitter account in South Africa. Belle Pottinger, Belle Pottinger should learn from you.
Yeah, you know, I got a bit fed up again. You know, you can only take it for so long. And you know, my face has been photoshopped onto dogs and to. Yeah. Risque images of, naked woman pole dancing and things. And I just got fed up. There's this ridiculous debate that preoccupied this national policy conference on whether the term is monopoly capital and white monopoly capital. Mm-hmm. And so last night, we waited the whole day at the policy conference yesterday for this media briefing to happen, and to hear the outcome of the discussion. And so, as it turned out, the Zuma camp lost, so they didn't get their preferred phrasing of white monopoly capital. So it's now just monopoly capital, which means, shit all to the rest of us. I mean. Yeah. Why would we care, what does it mean? What does it mean for the rest of the world? But to the ANC, it's a life and death issue. And as it turns out, people like Mzwane Lemani and, other people from the Zuma camp, the Guptas, as I call them.
Yeah, you called them. Here's what you...
A massive battle.
Here's what you tweeted. You tweeted, the term white minority capital has fallen. Sorry, Guptas. So that's Ranjeni. And then Mzwane Lemani replies, you are, in big capital letters, lying. The debate is going to the branches. So you replied to him and said, and this is my favorite part of the whole thing. You're like, okay, listen, Jimmy, I got you. Because he's Jimmy, he's Mzwanele, but he was always Jimmy before. You say, I know you are bitter that your project collapsed, but call me a liar again and I will literally kick your ass.
And I will. He is such a complete coward of a man, who hides behind this Twitter account. Is literally one man in a Twitter account, who just wants to bully the rest of South Africa into thinking the way he should. And he dares to call me a liar. This was a live press conference. South Africa saw it. They saw the ANC announced that they are not using the term white monopoly capital. They're using the term monopoly capital, which means he failed. You can't deal with it. Then he calls me a liar. I will literally kick his ass, Gareth.
Are you planning to, because I was saying I would pay money to see that. I would set up the fighter. We'd have you guys in wrestling uniforms. I think that the whole country would be there to watch. And I think it would be a bigger fight than Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. I really do.
But you know what? There are such tens. There's 1,500 journalists at this conference. And for some reason, people like Zone Lemani hang around at the media lounge. You know, looking for relevance, looking for people like us to pay attention to him.
Yeah.
So, you know, on one hand, it's irritating that I actually have to give him the time of day and legitimize his shit. On the other hand, he does need an ass whooping. I think, you know, he's one of those people who, like, grate on your nerves in the way he just distorts everything. He wants to bully people to think the way he does.
No, and we know he's being paid by the Guptards as well, because that's his only job at the moment. He's got nothing else to do, right?
Yes, but you see, there's this a whole legion of Guptards parading around the conference radio as ANN 7 analysts. That's the only reason they're there. So people like Carl Niehaus and you know, all these other weird analysts they have. And, you know, it's actually quite tense, because there was actually almost another fight with another norm of a legitimate political analyst yesterday. Because, you know, the thing is that, you know, all of us are there to do our jobs, and we're trying to analyze what's going on in this conference. We're trying to get information. And here's these people, you know, parading among us. And they're just there to sing the Gupta, the Gupta line. And they can't take it that they're so outnumbered, that they're losing the battle. So they're trying to pick fights with the rest of us.
Is it true that Sladi Motsweneng was parading as an ANN 7 journalist just so he could get into the conference?
Yes, that's what I heard. That he also tried to come in as an analyst. So, you know, Sladi's trying to reinvent himself now, you know, from SABC jack of all trades to an ANN 7 analyst. How the mighty have fallen, hey guys.
Well, what do you think?
But they wouldn't let him in. He doesn't have accreditation, so, you know, who the hell is he?
What do you think these ANN 7 journalists? I mean, a lot of these people are clearly, you know, they need a job. And we can't hate them. You know how hard it is to make your name in journalism. You know you've walked a long and arduous path to the point where you are able to express your opinions, let alone just report on stories. And it's one of the things we like about you. But not all journalists have that, right? And maybe for some, the only opportunity they'll get to be a part of the world of journalism is to work for ANN 7. What's it like, do you think, for them? Perhaps there are good people there too. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Do you think that they have a crisis of conscience when they go to things like this policy conference and they have to report on it, but they're told what to say?
I'm sure for many of them, it's soul-destroying, you know, to be seen the way the rest of the world sees them, the rest of us see them. But as you point out, that, you know, there's some good people there, and ANN 7 has been a good training ground. They've produced some excellent journalists. If you think about Kanita Hunter, who's now at the Sunday Times, Clement Manicella was on 702. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where they that was their training ground. That's where they came from until they couldn't take it and left. But you know, you can't blame them for the sins of their masters. On the other hand, now what's happening is that they are becoming part of the performing circus, you know, and willingly so. So, for example, when BLF, the fringe limiting group of Andileng Rutama, goes and protests at journalists' houses, they go along with them, you know, as part of the stage performance. Now, that's not right. You can't do that. It's one thing, you know, to just go out there and try and do your job and report as best as you can, and you can't take responsibility for what your bosses do. That's one thing. But another thing, when you are part of this, you know, this Guptad circus, and if you listen to, you know, some of the hosts, some of the analysts, and the line they push, and you know that their only mandate appears to be defending the Guptas. and defending Zuma, then that's something different altogether. That means you sold your soul. That means that, you know, you're beyond redemption now. With all, you know, this avalanche of information that exists about how these people have stolen our country, and you as a South African citizen, leave as a journalist, but as a citizen, you don't feel the prick of conscience, then there's something wrong with you.
Do you feel like this policy conference has delivered any kind of nuggets besides this little white minority capital one, which is it's not a small victory because it has been the agenda of one of the factions, but there are other things also that have come out of this that you thought have been useful? I mean, you haven't spent your week there in vain, right?
Look, there's nothing solid that has come out so far. I think that what the purpose of this post-policy conference was to test sentiment in ANC. Because what you've had at the moment is the leaders of factions in open warfare. And you've had people like President Zuma pretending that the ANC is united around him. And I think what this policy conference has done is exposed the ruptures, and it's exposed that there is not universal support for Zuma. We saw it on the opening day when there was muted support for him, muted response to his entrance, that there were just certain factors. So for example, the KwaZulu-Natal contingent that was strongly in support of him, was cheering him on, but not everyone else. And you've seen that Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa has significant support now, amongst the branches, amongst ordinary members of the ANC, and that's being played out. So I think that is important because this is the first time that we've seen branch delegates, and we're able to see that there is a rebellion against Zuma, and that manifested in this white monopoly capital debate, but it is also manifesting in other ways. And even the Women's League, so for example, Times Live is carrying a story this morning that there is a rebellion in the Women's League that they think they've been bullied by people like Batsibile Dlamini to support Zuma and Dlamini Zuma, and they're looking for alternate candidates. They're not really covering themselves in glory by projecting the alternate candidate as Baleka Mbete, but, you know, there's slim pickings there. So, but at least, you know, that you can see that there are levels of rebellion and in different structures of the ANC.
Do we know how the Guptas are feeling at the moment? Because it seems that they're becoming increasingly desperate in their attempts to control the narrative. Do we know whether or not they have they've made any moves, whether they've had any emergency meetings? Do we have any indication of what they're up to?
We have no idea where that secret sect is, whether they're in Dubai, whether they're in Sarangpur, whether they're in Timbuktu. So we don't know what they're doing. But, you know, you see it now and then that, that their propaganda, their attempts at propaganda is being pushed through. So, for example, in a media briefing last night on security, that an NN7 journalist asked the state security minister whether there are discussions about how the media is part of the regime change agenda. That is obviously a planted question from them, because they want the South African media to be demonized, and they're trying to bait the minister to lash out against the South African media. And that didn't happen. So even the state security minister, David Mashoba, didn't take the bait. And that's because he can't do so, because he's just come out of a plenary of 4,000 delegates who will say, if he does say that, they will distance himself from what he said, and they will say he is lying. So he couldn't do that. So therefore, that, you know, you can see that there are subtle ways in which they are trying to lash back. I don't watch ANN7, but from what I hear, there is a kind of an attempt to hit back, to push back on what is emerging at the conference, but they can't do that because the evidence is there from what is being announced and the written statements coming from the ANC.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you, Ranjeni. And if that fight ever does happen, believe me, I'll be there to massage your shoulders and give you a drink in between rounds. And it'll only take...
And you can play Eye of the Tiger, eh?
Right. And it'll only take one round for you to completely flatten him. I'm pretty sure of that. All right, thank you.
Let's see. I'll let you know if it happens.
I can't wait. All right, there we are. Ranjeti Moonsami. What a story, huh? Now we have we have like open warfare between people in the media and people who are touting an agenda. Isn't it great? Isn't this a fantastic country to be a part of? Isn't this fantastic?
An interesting time.
Gotta love it.
Journalists with not only backbones, but also
back
like
hands.
So much more.
Backbones and a good right hook.
Mm-hmm. Quotes of the day. I will kick
your
ass.
Yeah, it can only be inspiring for someone like Ranjeti to be around other journalists and they think this is the way to go.
Yeah.
Like what this is about ANN7's only objective is to bail out the Guptas and Zuma.
That's right.
It's so sad if that's your life.
Well, here we go. This is the beginning of what will be a way more exciting world of journalism than you're used to. Where's Luca, our intern? For today, he's doing 40 hours. Now, you're studying journalism, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. So, as a journalist student, did they ever tell you might have to kick ass?
Not quite, but I'm sure I'd be prepared to do it.
Yeah. There we, you just heard Ranjeti. She's one of the best.
The inspiration is there.
There we go. All right, man. He's doing 40 hours with us because he must have done something wrong.
Luca, who do you reckon you can take currently?
Who of the current political crop could you take out, huh?
I think that's a difficult one. I'm actually not sure.
You reckon you could wrestle Atul to the ground? I mean, that would be something.
As long as it's not somebody too big, I think I'd be okay.
Right. Okay, so obviously Kulibuse is maybe out of your...
Kulibuse, no. That's extremely higher grade. I mean, you'd need to have honors and perhaps even a master's in journalism to take him on. You'd need to be Ranjeti. I'd give her the points to take on Kulibuse, but very few others.
Haven't heard much from him in a while, though.
No. Yeah, he's obviously quad biking somewhere.
You know, Duduzane has taken the spotlight.
Oh, yeah. Yes, true. Indeedy. Yeah. So, as this whole thing plays out before us,
mm-hmm.
You know, essentially, Bell Pottinger are in the middle of a public relations disaster.
And they're a PR company. It couldn't happen to nicer people.
They are a PR company in the middle of a public relations disaster. And now, apparently, they're going to be facing a probe.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. For stoking racial tension in South Africa.
A probe.
A probe, yes.
A probe.
I've withdrawn my fingers.
Oh, no, you have not withdrawn anything. You are probing.
As you can see my hand, I had, yeah.
I wonder who's probing them.
Well, an international public relations association has launched an investigation into the allegations that Bell Pottinger promoted racial hatred in South Africa. Now, the firm whose services were allegedly procured, we still have to use these words, hey?
Allegedly. Yourself.
Still have to use these words. Their services were allegedly procured by Duduzane Zuma in his capacity as a Gupta employee. And according to Francis Ingham, who is the Director General of the Public Relations and Communications Association, we'll call them the PRCA, they confirm that they have received a complaint against Bell Pottinger, which was filed by the DA. Bell Pottinger have been notified of this complaint. Uh-huh. And so the PRCA are now going to begin the formal process, which is set out in the PRCA Professional Charter and Code of Conduct to investigate the complaint.
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret. You must be so embarrassed.
All right. Yeah. There we go, Bell Pottinger.
Yeah.
What a stupid name, by the way. Pottinger. Doesn't it sound like something that you should do in a bathroom?
Well, that's what you teach your baby to do. Pottinger by itself.
Right. Ooh. Exactly.
My ass is stuck.
Oh, okay.
Sounds like something from Harry Potter.
Yeah. It's one of the bad wizards.
I wouldn't take them seriously, though. Pottinger?
Hey,
what's his special power?
I'll get you, Bell Pottinger.
Sounds like the fifth person from One Direction.
The DA wrote to the PRCA and the Chartered Institute of Public Relations urging them to investigate these allegations. In one of the numerous leaked Gupta emails, Nick Lambert, who is a senior advisor at Bell Pottinger, identified key moments in a speech which was delivered by the ANC Youth League leader Colin Mayine. Is it Colin or Collins?
No, we call Colin. We call him Oros.
Well, yeah. There you go.
That's easier.
They included a quote which was allegedly provided by this Nick Lambert, which says, "Those who want to disrupt the state of the nation speech must prepare themselves for a civil war."
Fuck you!
End quote. And so it is because of statements like that that now this investigation is going to be launched.
It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. Do we know whether Belle Pottinger's Twitter account is live again?
It was blocked. Well, is it alive again?
It was live. I don't know if it's been taken out.
All right, well...
The weekend it was live.
Let me release the hounds. Fly, my pretties. Fly, do your damage. Come on, let's go. Nail these sons of bitches. Take them down. Keep them so busy with your ugly comments about what crap they are.
It's back on.
Go on. Nail them, please, right?
I suck on your tits.
That's right. Tell them how you'd suck on their tits. Ask them all kinds of questions.
Are you thick like a can of soup? Are you stroking your cock?
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. There's one of our dedicated listeners who likes to troll Belle Pottinger. Go. Fly, my pretties.
So, over the weekend...
Create chaos.
Oh, no, wait. This is back in June. They haven't been tweeting much. So, back in June, they tweeted about the English elections, going to the comments, and it's just people saying, you whores, you political whores.
Right, exactly.
What about you in South Africa, you bitches?
Pull out your testicles.
No.
Somehow Richard Branson might be associated with Belle Pottinger as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
In what ways?
Well, maybe they've done work with him, but people are now asking Richard, Sir Richard, what his association is with Belle Pottinger. I'll do some
investigation. They haven't tweeted since June the 9th.
Well, of course they will. What are they going to say?
Yeah, but I mean, this is your thing, right? Public relations, social media, their account has not tweeted in over, basically a month.
Isn't that because they had to lay low after the whole...
Sure.
But as a PR company, you should have a PR strategy.
Exactly.
Shame!
That's where I'm going with
crisis management.
Shame!
They've only got 4,600 followers.
Shame!
Well, we should parade them around like in Game of Thrones when Cersei was taken down the street there and she was naked. And then people were ringing the shame bell and throwing feces at her and swearing, calling her a whore and all that stuff. Well, that's what we should do to the whole firm. Every director, every employee, they should all be walked down the street here in South Africa, the high street. And the people of this country can all gather on both sides and we can tell them what we think of them.
Well, that's what Twitter is essentially
shame.
Doing, though.
That's right.
That's what Twitter is, though.
Shame.
The shame in the streets.
Bring it on.
They have a dreadful website.
Shame.
It looks like a 1994 shame. Website. It's just...
Shame.
It's like when you first get your a blog shame. And there's nothing on it. It's just like this page.
Shame. Shame.
Is this enough yet, or are you still enjoying it?
Shame.
Oh, there we go.
Shame.
Bring it on, people. Come on.
Shame.
That's right.
Shame. Shame.
Say what you think.
Shame.
People of South Africa.
Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Fucker.
Yo, bitch.
Shame.
Yes.
Shame.
Tell Belle Pottinger what you think.
Shame.
Bitch.
Why are there half as many cops as the Queen?
Shame.
Right.
Shame.
Okay. All right, everybody calm down. Thank you. Okay, that's enough. Okay. All right. Let's not be as... thank you. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you. Everybody calm down. That's the actual sounds of Twitter right now.
Exactly.
Someone called her a sinner. I mean, that's going too far.
Do you know people are now openly quitting Twitter because of this, though?
Yeah, that's like saying, I'll move to Canada after the elections.
No,
people say this shit, they never follow through.
Ed Sheeran has now quit Twitter.
Oh, really?
Why?
Because of the fact that he's always like inundated with nasty messages and negativity all the time.
Yeah, well, he wants to go break hearts like he does.
What's next?
I guess what's coming to him.
No, the first one to do this is not new. This is already last year. Stephen Fry jumped off and
Deadmau5 did this.
Yeah, a lot of people have decided they'd rather opt out of the mob.
Mm.
And I get that. But what bothers me in South Africa is that it's been artificially stoked. Most of us were having a good time. You remember it's
Sunday night television.
Yeah, Twitter used to be a lot of fun. We would joke, we would laugh at each other. No one took anything too seriously. There'd be one or two people who were always outraged, but you know, that's like in a group of friends. Eventually, you get rid of those people.
There were funny hashtags trending.
Right.
Now it's always something must fall.
Now it's always something heavily politicized and polarized. And yeah. It was made up. We were forced to behave like this by Bell Pottinger. So now let's turn it on them. That's what I'm thinking. Hey, there's apparently this pill. It's not Bill Cosby's, before you get worried.
You never know.
Okay, sorry. So I can sit back down. Sure. I was getting ready
there's
to storm
great
out of
new
here.
You can pill.
Like, get your hand off your cup, trying to cover it.
This is a pill called... what is this stuff called? Hang on a second. Basically, it'll extend your life.
Oh, this is right up your alley.
Oh, yeah. This is what I love, right? And apparently this stuff is about to be okayed by the Food and Drug Administration. They're going to start allowing people to buy it on the market. It should be quite a big deal. It's called metformin. I'd love to know what doctors in this country know about this.
Mm.
Yeah. He wants to demonstrate that human aging can be slowed with a cheap pill as history making. In 2015, the same guy, this is Dr. Barzilai, he is an American doctor. He was flanked by a number of distinguished researchers on aging and likened the plan to a journey to the promised land. He's traveled all over the world telling people about this, had huge investments from Silicon Valley titans, including Google's Sergey Brin and Larry Page, Amazon's Jeff Bezos, PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel, and Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison, because all of them, they aren't getting any younger, right? And they've got money, but they want to last long. I'd rather convert some of that money into time. And apparently, armed with riches, biotech researchers are now dreaming up growing lists of cribbed from science fiction therapies to beat back death, growing new organs from your own DNA, infusing older bodies with blood and stem cells from young bodies, uploading brains to computers. And now, he says, he's got a pill that will help.
This is what I don't get, though. Even if we were to make great medical advances, and even if a pill like this were to, you know, work, just because you live longer doesn't mean you aren't aging. No. So even if you live to 250 years old, you'll still have arthritis and
need
an adult diaper.
No, you won't. Because all of this, the whole point of not getting old is that, and Ben was very decided about this yesterday. He said, oh no, no matter what, you're getting old. But imagine you could actually turn... If I could turn back time...
Okay.
Imagine this. No, don't get carried away, Sia. Okay. Thank you, that'll do.
No, but I'm confused.
The drug in question, metformin, costs 5 cents a pill, slightly modified version of a compound that was discovered in a plant. It's known as French lilac and goat's rue. It's hardly the stuff of cutting-edge science. Physicians have been prescribing it as a herbal remedy, for centuries. In 1640, the great English herbalist John Parkinson wrote about this in his life's work, Theatrum Botanicum, and he recommended it for the bitings or stings of venomous creatures, the plague, measles, smallpox, and worms in children, among other conditions.
Wow, that's a whole host of things to remedy.
Yeah. So, listen, this guy's apparently convinced this is the pill that will change things. Turn back time.
No.
Uh-huh.
I don't buy it.
Yeah, but your ears are still going to look like old dried bananas.
Well,
and
I'll buy it.
This is the thing is, you'll buy it.
I'll buy it.
You are not a big fan of herbal remedies. You've always poo-pooed that stuff.
I will
you've
do
it. Always, he wants to live forever.
You've always said it's not everything. Real science.
I am poo-poo his pants, so that's why
I am tired of having to drink the blood of infants. It's time for something a little more herbal and friendly. All right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I
know.
I don't believe
it. I know.
And I especially don't believe that price.
And what... Well, of course, that's like the cost price. They'll mark the hell out of this if this is, you know, they'll mark it up. But... when you start taking the pill, is that when you stop aging?
No, that's
it's going to turn back time.
Is that what it's going to do? Because
yes.
I heard you saying that it's going to slow down aging. It's not going
damn
to
it, people.
It's not going to stop it.
It's going to slow it down.
It's going to slow it down.
So eventually
it's
you will
go
end
out
up,
in your urine just like any other vitamin.
It's going to what?
It's going to leave your body through your urine.
Yeah. One more time.
It's a lovely story. It really is.
Urine.
Gareth's going to be taking these things going, ah, look at me. And then, ah, oh, my aching back.
Ah, shut up.
And his pink urine.
All right. You guys die when you want. Yeah, I'll carry it.
For 200 you guys years. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Why would you want to live for 200 years?
No. I
want
to live for life. I want to live for 1,000 years, and you're not going to stop me, you
on,
three.
On this planet?
on we're this already saying Earth is planet. Overpopulated.
By the way, whatever happened to that limitless pill that was apparently going to be released into the market a year ago? We never heard anything about that one.
Well, you know, basically they claimed there were some postal issues. So those pills never got to their rightful places.
Okay.
All right. Let's bring Oh God in here. All right. It's time to talk about this groundbreaking case. Basically, if you are in a state school, a government school, there should be no preference or special status given to any one religion. That means that if you are a Christian or a Muslim or a Jew or a Buddhist or anything else, thanks to this finding, in the courts of South Africa, you are not going to be forced to listen to the claptrap of one religion over any other. All religions will be treated equally, and our state schools will not be able to prioritize one religion over another. Is that the point, Hannes? Is that what's going on?
That is it.
Morning, man. Nice to see you, man.
That is certainly it. We have found that the court has ruled that no religion may be privileged over any other.
Yeah.
And with religion, in that sense, they also include, of course, the secular views like atheism and humanism, etc.
Hans Petersen is with Oh God. He's the chairman. I love your acronym here. The Organization for Religious Education and Democracy. So let's just be clear about this, because a lot of people are getting up in arms. I see AfriForum across with you. I don't know why they have to get involved in religion. Is it because all Afrikaans people are religious, or what do they think is going on here? You're Afrikaans, you don't. What's this?
There are two kinds of Afrikaners, obviously, you've noticed by now, as there are different types of
just
our cultures
two, I think.
Well,
thought there were a few more.
At least two. Yeah. And some of those, the one group at least, it really yearns back to the good old days, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think that is mostly what we're up against. Obviously, there are people who are concerned that we will take religion out of schools.
Now,
which
that's
is not,
the, not case.
The case.
This is
that
what
is
I was
exactly
going to get
not the
to.
Case.
All you've done in getting this ruling is you've made sure that no single religion, because there are in human history about 9,000 of these that have existed at various times, once people took Zeus very seriously. Mm. 9,000 religions, not one in the whole environment of a public school in South Africa is allowed to be treated specially.
That's right, that's right. One has to consider also that in Christianity alone there's over 40,000 denominations. So, you know, I can appreciate that for some people religion is very important, and that is their right.
Absolutely.
And in schools you may also live that religion. You don't need to hide it from anyone.
Sure.
So the constitution is very clear that you may celebrate your religion on school grounds as well, mm-hmm. but the school itself may not partake in it, because then you use the state's infrastructure, or at least partly taxpayers' money, etc., to promote a specific religion, and the state can't be seen as taking sides. So we're quite happy with the verdict, and we are certainly in favor of the country's constitution and the national policy on religion. I think it's a brilliant document, both of them. But there is still an old, apart from, there's also a segment of the population who just don't appreciate the coercion and the pressure on others, on people who think otherwise.
Now, this is a thing that people will have said to you, oh, why don't you just leave us alone? We're not doing any harm. Religion is mostly good. We believe in, you know, love thy neighbor and that kind of thing. So why would you be so anti us? Why aren't you allowing us to tell kids about the love of Jesus?
Well, that's if you do that
in
public space,
what do you say to them?
You say if you do that in a public space, if somebody comes to you and tells you to praise Jesus or have Jesus in your heart, you are free to tell him what to do with his message. Mm-hmm. But a child is not. A child is in a very special trusted relationship with a teacher, and that teacher is grossly incompetent to teach the nuances of religion.
Some would say so are the parents. Hans, is the next step to say to parents, you can't brainwash your children?
That may be true, but then they are what they call human rights. So it's the parents' prerogative, so we can't go there. You know,
in other
it's
words,
like, it's like
in other
corporal punishment as well. You may not like it, but they might do it.
I hear you, but I mean, let's just be philosophical for a second. We've taken away the right for schools to indoctrinate kids into a specific religion. Or certainly we've reaffirmed the right that our Constitution has to not have us forced into a religion by schools. Mm. But there may be an argument, it might not be your fight to fight, but there may be people who in future will say, actually, parents don't own their children. They're not allowed to force their kids into whatever religion they were part of.
One has to be very clear that a child is born without religion, and his religion is then determined from even before he can decide on it, long, long, long before that.
Yeah, you get dunked in that font, you get...
And there certainly is a movement that I've seen around that says a child should not be exposed to religion until he can make his own decision.
Some kids have their genitals sliced off.
In some
without any say-so from them.
Exactly. So there is certainly a movement, but that, as you say, is not my fight. My fight simply is the Constitution.
All right.
I want the Constitution. I do believe we have an excellent Constitution, and I want that to be enforced. But there is most certainly also a hangover from our old Christian national education past. And the people, you know, you remember the Broederbond, I'm sure. Mm. Those kind of thinking people.
Well, there was a pact between the old kerk in those days and the government. The pact helped to institutionalize racism.
Yeah, no, it's more than a pact. It's the old Foster brothers. You remember Kurt Foster was the head of the NG Kerk at that time. And John Foster was the Prime Minister. And they were brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So this was enforced, and they, between them, decided what we should learn and not know about. If you consider that television was in Brazil in 1950, but only got to our shores in 1976, we were kept stupid and ignorant. Mm-hmm. And there are people who preferred it that way.
TV was the great Satan.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It was TV, blacks, communism. And atheism. Those are the evil things.
Yeah. Now it's, oh God.
Now you guys are the problem.
Yeah, I'm the new evil kid on the block.
So who are your biggest tegenstanders? Who are the people who are anti you at the moment? Who are the people who've voiced opposing points of view?
That is a good question. I need to answer it in two parts. One is that as the court matter proceeded, a large school governing body association joined us, the National Association for School Governing Bodies. And they represent about 8,000 public schools in South Africa, which is about a third of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly stated that they are in support of the national policy.
All right.
So as far as we are concerned, they are, and I put it in brackets, on our side, because that's what we want, the national policy, which reflects the Constitution. So there are schools who are trying to maintain the national policy, and for that I'm glad. But there's also a smaller percentage, and FETSAs represent about 8% of the national schools, but it's also, of course, the old Model C type schools, and they are critically opposed against changing the Christian dominance in our public schools. And that is what we are up against. You know,
on what basis? Do they say that we're a Christian nation? Do they say that the majority of people in this country are Christian?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's the majority thing. You know, they claim that since about 80% of South Africans are Christian, regardless of the fact that those Christians don't think the same. I mean, a Zionist and a Roman Catholic and a Seventh-day Adventist do not come from the same page.
I mean, it's funny to me how they don't see the hypocrisy. And let me explain this as simply as I can, and I'm not a clever guy, but here we go. We've got the majority of people in the country are Christians, so everybody should be exposed to and forced to deal with Christianity. Mm. Yet those very same people will say, the ANC is the majority party, but we need to protect minority rights. And just because the ANC is the majority and they get the majority of votes in the country doesn't mean that they should be telling white Afrikaners what to do. They don't see that as ironic.
I was really hoping that you could explain that mystery to me, Cliff. If you look at AfriForum, for example, their mandate specifically states, and they write that in their court papers, that they are for minority rights, protecting the minorities, making sure that the minority gets the same benefits from the state resources, etc. So it's all minority. Then a couple of pages further, they say, but now in the community of the school, the majority should have to say. It just doesn't gel. I can't understand how one person can write that without his head exploding.
Well, it means clearly that if you like something and you're in favor of something, then if the majority is, that's lucky. Use the majority argument.
Exactly.
So if it isn't, then fight for minority rights and
be
a complete hypocrite.
Suits you.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is pure...
Isn't that called bigotry or something?
It's just pure hypocrisy. It's good old school hypocrisy. Okay. Are we a Christian nation? In your opinion?
It's difficult to say. The last census we had was in 2001, and Christianity at that point was roughly about 80%, I think. And this is
That's
interesting.
That's a nice majority.
It's a nice majority, but remember the biggest part of that is the Christian Zionists, right? The old Ingekerk type, the Dutch Reformed sister churches, only account for about 8%, 7 or 8%. So their influence is still disproportionately large in our schools. But the other interesting thing that I need to mention is that all other religions excepting Christianity together is around about 5%. So that includes Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, African traditional religions, etc. So we have 80% roughly Christians, 5% all others combined, and 15% are irreligious. And apparently that's the biggest threat to people, because they would very quickly say that let's defend Muslim rights, for example. But the moment you talk about somebody that doesn't want to pray, who doesn't want to close his eyes when somebody else is praying, then he is the evil bugger.
He's a problem.
And that is part of the I don't know what you call it, that we need to break down.
Now, in terms of the law and the application of the law, the state is not a religious entity. And this country is not a Christian state.
Yeah.
Not in terms of our constitution. Not in terms of any of our statutory laws, our common law. Mm. There is no presence of God in any of that.
Yeah. God is mentioned in the
preamble.
Preamble, that sort of thing. But it has no legal implications. What the Constitution says very, very clearly is that we are not an anti-religious state, but neither are we a religious state. So we are in between. We are a non-religious state that welcomes religion within our constitutions. Mm-hmm. And institutions, but we cannot give preference to any specific one. And not only that, it also says that we have to redress the balance that was in the past. So it's not just pretending that everything is going fine. Now we have to correct what was wrong prior to 1996.
Which includes forcing religious education
exactly.
and instruction. And then, just like we forced kids to learn about blacks and whites being different.
Yeah.
And we forced people to learn that apartheid was the way to go.
Yeah.
And schools were separated along racial lines. And people were taught a paltry form of education in Bantu education. We have to redress that wrong.
Exactly.
Black economic empowerment has to bring more black people into the economy, the formal economy. Similarly, we have to have instruction that will teach people that religion is not necessarily the only thing that's the truth, the way, and the light.
It says that very clearly, that religion does not have the monopoly on values, and some religious values are really not good for society. Mm. That is stated in the national policy. The whole previous apartheid thing was based on the little story in the Bible about the people of Babel, who God struck with different languages and they had to go separate ways. And that was used to justify...
Apartheid.
But now, the weird thing is now we have to embrace diversity. So, and we actually have to celebrate diversity. That is a prerogative. It's stated that in the Schools Act even. So schools are exactly the opposite now. Instead of promoting a religion, they now have to promote diversity.
This obviously doesn't include private schools. And you can still open up a Muslim school if you want to, or a Catholic school.
Exactly.
And the parents who send their kids to those schools know that that's what they're in for.
That's right. But the funny part is that, and I've been talking to some people about that, the Christian private schools, for example, force Christianity less on their children than our public schools do.
Hmm.
It's just weird. But yeah, that's what can we say? I suppose Fetzers and AfriForum, those people need to answer this question. I can't.
And just to be clear about this too, does our constitution give you freedom from religion as
it
well as freedom
does,
of religion?
Yeah, yeah. It says very clearly that, very, very clearly, that it regards all secular non-religious worldviews to be, it regards it as a religion purely for the sake of argument, of legal argument. But it certainly says that if you are an irreligious person, you are equally respected. There's no doubt about it.
So when a bunch of people are sitting around talking about their different hairstyles and a bald person walks in, they don't necessarily want to argue for a certain kind of hairstyle, but they should be treated as a human being and part of the argument, even if they don't have hair.
Exactly. That's it. You put it very well there.
All right. It's kind of how we feel.
Yeah. Abstinence isn't a sexual position.
There we are. Very good. All right. So there we go. And listen, congratulations on the work that you're doing. Thank goodness there's someone who's fighting for those people who don't want their children brainwashed by other adults with nefarious purposes. We hear about these pastors every day who are trying to make people eat snakes and grass and drink petrol and all kinds of things. And for some reason, this is tolerated because it's religious.
Yeah.
In any other way, shape, or form, these people would be locked up for endangering society.
Yeah. Now, you can imagine that if it's an adult that's been told by his or her pastor to eat a snake, you could think, but that person is just weird. How can he eat a snake?
And, if adults want to engage in stupidity, that's fine.
That sort of but we now, shouldn't if be you have a child of 8 years old and a teacher, obviously this is not happening, but I'm just using that as an example. If that teacher should tell the child, eat this snake because of your religion, that's a completely different relationship than the one you find in the adult world.
It's the same way as, for example, you cannot have consensual sex between a minor and an adult.
Exactly, yeah.
And you can't have consensual religious intercourse between people either because the child has clearly got a softer brain than the adult and they're still busy figuring out the world. And that's exactly when you want to inject bad indoctrination and brainwashing in, and we want to stop that.
And that's why when people call me names and I tell you, the Antichrist is one of the easier ones.
You've been called the Antichrist?
Oh, many times, over and over.
Congratulations.
I have the stench of Satan. I noticed
when you came in here, there was a bit of sulfur in the air. Yep.
Yeah, it's my new deodorant. But every time somebody does that, it hardens my resolve because I can imagine that same attitude towards children, and that's not on.
What is in it for you?
Because
people are going hang on. Because people are going to say, oh, why are you a crusader? And ironically, they'll use that term, against people's private religion. Why would you take up your time and energy and money to fight something that people just are allowed to practice and believe, and they don't necessarily harm anyone else? Why are you doing this? Why are you being so mean?
Mean.
And what's in it for you?
I can't really explain that. Perhaps it's a calling from above. It might be.
From God?
I wouldn't know. To be honest, it was a simple thing of it's something that happened to my children in school when they entered school their very first year, and it got my hair up and I started negotiating. I was stonewalled and it escalated from there, and I had to make the simple choice. I had to decide, will I one day have to tell my children they've been indoctrinated for 12 years, that their father knew something was wrong but he didn't have the balls to stand up? I couldn't face that reality. To my mind, I was forced into this. It wasn't something that I thought, all right, now there are a couple of ills in the world, which one shall I pick? That was not the case. It was something that happened to me, and I just had to stand up. I couldn't just say, all right, let's try and find another way. I couldn't. So that's why I say it's probably a calling, really, honestly. Whether it's from above or below, I wouldn't know, but it's something that's really, really important to me.
Is religion a fit subject for discussion and investigation at schools?
Yes. There is nothing wrong. First of all, my point of departure is simply this, that we should teach our children everything we know except our fears. And teaching them everything we know would include teaching them about religions. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
Secondly, the school is a public sphere, a neutral public sphere, supposed to be, where children can meet different people of different races, backgrounds, cultures, and religions. And it helps them associate and understand the other. Now, it's not that you shouldn't eat in front of a Muslim during Ramadan because you are offending him, but simply because he's hungry. So if you eat in front of him, you make him hungry, feel hungry. So it's respectful not to then eat in front of him for that reason. It's a humane reason.
It would be like dancing in front of someone in a wheelchair. It's just unkind.
Yeah, it's unkind. So, and this is the type of thing that we need to teach our children. And for that reason, I think it's brilliant to have religions on our school grounds, as long as they're treated fairly.
Well, listen, Mubs, do you have anything to say? Are you angry with Hans for doing this? What's the story?
No, absolutely not. But because I do love playing devil's advocate,
all right.
What do you say to those people who say, But Hans, I grew up having been indoctrinated by religion, and then when I became an adult, I either converted or I completely abandoned all religion. So how harmful could it really be for a child?
You might be an exception, remember? Mm-hmm. There are other people who get, and really you should listen to the stories that parents come... Parents, an example, in a very well-known school in Pretoria, they wanted to pray for the Chinese for some reason. Maybe they needed to convert or whatever. And a child, a young child, stood up and said, but she thinks it's wrong to pray for the Chinese, whatever reason she has for that. That triggered a whole series of interventions by church-going people, including berating. What's that?
Who?
Berating, if you help someone... Counseling by the Engia Kerk minister had to counsel that little girl. She was frightened out of her wits.
Yeah.
Her mother finally took her out of school to do homeschooling, because how can you do that? She's now finally in a private school, a Christian private school.
Uh-huh. But she's not harassed.
Which is far less harassing.
Yeah.
So there, you are one of the lucky ones.
All right, so let's pray for Hans to keep doing his good work.
No, you laugh. You laugh, but in court documents, your requests are called prayers. So, yeah, we hope
That's
our
true.
Prayers will be answered.
Prayer one, that you will have schools granted religious indemnity.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Well, look, it's just amazing how we always say live and let live. And that's actually easy for irreligious people to do. And they've been asked to do this since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
And people who don't believe necessarily in anything have been burnt at the stake and stoned and thrown into fires and all kinds of other things.
It's called the Antichrist.
Yeah, for thousands of years. God knows how many souls have been tormented, destroyed, burnt, harassed, killed, put out of action by religious people over the years. And the minute that someone irreligious today says, actually, I'd rather you didn't indoctrinate my child, somehow they're evil and offensive, and they're trying to tear down religion. And well, I think it's time for a little balance to be brought to this conversation. And sure. I can't say I represent thousands of people who've been killed in the past by religious people, but I will say that you have absolutely no right to say that you're offended and upset when people who've never had the upper hand start to get a little bit of parity in this argument.
Yeah, and I do represent people without a voice, the children of South Africa, the next generation, the ones who are too scared to even tell their fathers, for example. You know, people, little children who come home with the teacher having told them they're going to hell, and they're going to fits of fear because they don't know about it.
We've got Satan on the line. Satan, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Satan. What's your question?
Will I be taught in schools?
That is a good question. If any Satanists would approach a school and ask for distributing leaflets, for example,
yes,
and they will be refused by the school, then that school may, from that point forward, not distribute any material of religious nature in that school.
That seems fair to me.
Oh.
Well, what a reasonable guy Satan turns up.
Hey, he might not be so bad after all.
We used to have a school hymnal. Did you have this as well? We used to have a school hymnal we used to have to carry around the whole of high school with hymns, Christian hymns in it. We used to have Bibles that were distributed during assembly. There was a religious instruction class that we had to pray every morning.
And just look how good you turned out to be.
What a great Christian I am.
No, we didn't have hymns or anything.
Clearly it
but
worked.
At my school, if you were in the hostel, because I was a boarder,
oh,
you had to go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
There was no way that you could decide that I don't feel like it today.
Yeah, my mother was expelled because she let off for one of those stink bombs in a glass bottle in the church. She was expelled from the school.
Now, on what she said just now, they may still do that at boarding schools, but if there are any children in a boarding school who would prefer to go to town on that day... Then whatever they
to have
provide,
a drink. Mabali, this is for you. It's called the Mabali rule.
If they provide a teacher to accommodate or to what's the word now to join the children
to chaperone
the children, they must then also provide a chaperone for the children who wish to go to town. So equal treatment means that what you do for Christians or Hindus or Muslims, you need to do for the irreligious as well. So it's your choice, schools. You can either accommodate everyone or none, but you can't choose between them. You can't give preference to a specific religion.
All right, so are you now relaxed or are you going to still be busy with stuff? How much more do you have to do?
The fight is only starting now. The opponents have about a month to appeal, and we can't predict whether they would or not, but only now that people are starting to wake up and there is a court verdict out to which we can hold principals accountable, do we see the actual fight starting. So this has been a long slog just to get the public's attention, which we now have, and let's see what the future holds.
All right, thank you very much, Hans Petersen. Oh God,
thank you for what you do like.
It is a brilliant acronym for you guys, though.
Well, my first organization that I started, the Afrikaner Vrydenkersbeweging, you know, people just forgot it.
That sounded almost like the
Afia beer. Yeah. That's why I chose it.
That's not a good one.
That's why I chose it.
You really have it. You have shitty choice in acronyms. Yeah. I got to tell you, you need a consultant.
Not this time. Nobody's forgetting this one. Nobody. Well, even Richard Dawkins speaks of Oh God.
There we go. Oh God is an endeavor through public activism to promote in-depth, fact-based education about religion, eradicate religious indoctrination in public schools, identify and expose religious counter-knowledge and magical thinking, and that would include not teaching evolution, right, at school, shield children from psychological dangers of religious damnation and fear, promote a democratic, secular, and human rights-based South African society, and eradicate religious elitism. If you're interested in that, you can find out more. How, Hans?
Please contact us via our webpage, ogod.org.za. There's also a Facebook page called Oh God South Africa. And if you will allow me another 1 minute, please.
Uh-huh.
The theme of creationism.
Don't try and indoctrinate me here.
No, you're welcome.
Okay, go.
Creationism may actually be broached at schools, right? Teachers may tell children about the creation story in Genesis.
Sure.
But only if they would then also tell them the other creation stories.
Then you've got to go through all of them, like the Buddha he came out of a slit in his mother's side.
Yeah, or the Egyptian god
Horus.
The Egyptian god Atum that through masturbation actually created the universe.
I want to see those teachers telling that story.
Yeah. All right, now be fair, we can't tell them all 9,000 versions, but we have to represent at least the religions of South Africa and the bigger ones of the world. So we need to, if you would like to promote the creation story of Genesis, you also have to teach the Hindu one, the traditional African
and the
ones.
Chocolosh.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he's not the creationist.
No,
he's just
but
a bad
we know. We need to have the Tokolosh taught. And I've been very strong about this from the beginning, Max.
Here's really your moment.
The Tokolosh doesn't really fall in the religion spectrum.
So neither does most religion. I mean, what's the difference between a myth and religion, really? Time. That's all. It's just time. Thank you very much.
Cliff, thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
No problem, Hans. Thank you. There we go. All right, let's get cracking.
This is CliffCentral.com.